Following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, June 4th, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to worship this morning. I think we have a special guest amongst us here this morning, Mrs. Rosalie Miller. She was the pastor's wife, and I can't even remember how many years ago, 27 years ago. So we welcome you to worship this morning. This morning it is Pentecost, the 50th day after Passover. So we'll be hearing a lot more about that. Let us have an opening prayer. Almighty God, we pray that we may experience the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that we may live with courage, boldness, and confidence, enabling us to be effective witnesses to our families, friends, and our communities, as they may too come to know Jesus. In his holy name we pray. Amen.
Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel his mighty power and his grace. I can hear
today is from Acts 2, 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rushing of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as if fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents from Mesopotamia, Judea and Carpathia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs in our own languages, and we hear them speaking about God's deeds and power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, it will be God declares that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall see dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents to the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoke mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day, when everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of God for the people of God.
It's good to see you, and it's good to be with you this morning. Grace and peace from our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ. Pentecost is that day. Get to where I read. You don't see the humor in that for pastors? We wear white, we wear green, sometimes purple, but Pentecost, man, we get the red stuff out. It's like, it's like women getting a new dress that they like, they picked, and the husband bought. Carrie and I celebrated our anniversary yesterday, and God is good. I have to be honest, I really never expected these years later to be in Wyoming again, like the last time, and the last five. But God is good, and we love it. Like she said, we drove up yesterday and was noticing all the flowers, just those yellow flowers, purple flowers. It's almost like a carpet of flowers. So pretty, so beautiful. And we think maybe spring has arrived. But I was telling Cleve a few minutes ago, it may change this afternoon. You never know. Also, Nick had some friends from back east come and visit for a few days, and he tour guided them, and we're grateful and thankful for safe travels and travel mercies for those things and times and places and all of that, and we're just thankful for that. I'm so grateful for God's amazing grace and His blessings. On Pentecost Sunday, maybe we need a little more information about today. 50. The word Pentecost means 50 days. No more, no less. It means 50 days after the Jewish celebration of the Passover, 50 days. Period. That's all. No magic words, no nothing. 50 days. We as Christians found that Christ had sent, went back to the presence of God, Holy Spirit was sent on the 50th day. So we said, we're going to make it special. So we call it Pentecost. And it is the birthday of church, 1,984 years old. Maybe it should walk with a stick. That's old, folks. Pentecost. What does it mean to you and I? Nothing. Oh, we'll get to have communion. The pastor's going to wear the red. He gets to, enjoy the red today. Really, it don't matter much to me, does it? You know, in Christianity, we've lost our heritages. We've lost our history. We've lost, if you will, our roots and foundations. I would guess that if I gave you a Christianity 101, you want to do one, a quiz this morning? You want to do one? No, not really? Because I would ask you, the first question is, what is Passover? What is significant about Passover? Did you know that if you don't understand Passover, then the table that is set to which you will come will have little meaning? It is Passover that Jesus changes into what we now celebrate as the Lord's Supper. It's the Passover meal, the Passover feast, that represents what? My goodness, do we know? It's the test. We don't know what we know that we say we know that we know. We don't know. Really? What's the Passover? What? That's kind of a good summary. What else? What else is Passover? Come on, you can talk. I've heard you. Okay, yeah, that's happened too. What else? Remember, I got to go home with her later. So. What else happened? Nothing. Tom. They got out of what?
Bondage.
Bondage. How did that happen? I rest my case. You are invited to Sunday school. We have it at 9 a.m. Impart this knowledge to you that you would be informed of the heritage of which you sit in and claim to be a part of. Passover, it was the deliverance of Israel from 450 years of slavery. It was the last chance for Pharaoh to be convinced to let them go. And it was the blood of the lamb or the goat of blemish, without blemish, that was poured out upon the doorpost. And the death angel passed over them and did not take the firstborn of their family. Jesus was which one? Firstborn. The blood meant that that house was saved from that visit. The significance of Passover. We can't get to Pentecost. We can't get to the Lord's Supper. We can't even get to Easter without the significance of the Passover. So God moved in Israel, or not Israel, but in Egypt, to set Israel free through the shed blood of the Lamb, through the plagues, through the witness. He set them free from 450 years of slavery and bondage. But I got a question. We got that, right? This is yes. Or the word is yes. You can part of that. Why did it take him 450 years? Was he slow? Was he blind? Was he deaf? What was it that got his attention? They finally cried out. They finally turned to God for deliverance and redemption. The rest of the time, they relied on themselves, their own strength, their own wills. It didn't start out in slavery. It kind of worked its way to that. That's the way sin is. Did you know it? Sin just kind of works its way in. No one starts out to be an alcoholic. They're just going to have a drink. No one ever starts out to be a drug addict. It's just kind of something, you know, that happens. It's the way sin, it's like pornography. Start looking at a little, look a little more, it gets a little worse. All that, all of the sins are that way, the sins of the world around us. It isn't that it gets us all at once. It's that it just kind of gets there. They got delivered when they called out. It's called free will, church. We've got it today. God's waiting to deliver us. He's got the power, the resources, the will, and the determination. Everything's in place. The blood's available. But we have to make a move. Notice in the last verse of Peter's message, quoting the prophet Joel, and all of those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's all in place. The meaning of the Passover was Christ replaced the sacrificial system of Israel's many years of tradition with his own life. And now we trust in that to the table to which we will come. So Passover begins as the disciples have themselves all in, and the King James says they were in one accord. So I don't know how they all got in that Honda, because there was about 70 of them. You know, Honda's not very big. I have trouble wearing some of them. You know, you don't drive them, you put them on, you know. Have you ever, Jesse drives a little car. Have you seen Jesse's little car? That's his work car. I'm going to pick on him. He don't know this is coming. I would have to put that thing on like a pair of pants to drive it. But he gets in that thing like it's nothing. I'm thinking, oh my goodness. But I've got used to driving, you know, trucks all my life. Pentecost is that day, that time when the church begins, and the title of the message is So It Begins, and all of a sudden they're there. 50 days have passed. When this 50th day came, they were there in one accord praying. Jesus said, go and wait, and the Holy Spirit will come. And they're waiting and anticipating. And a noise. You need to understand, it wasn't the wind blowing. And it was the noise of a mighty rushing wind. We here in Wyoming know what that sounds like, don't we? It isn't a breeze, folks. It's a wind. It moves stuff around. It was the noise. And all the people, not just those in that upper room, but all the people around, and it said devout men from all the nations of the world were living there, were there. They heard this noise. It sounded like a rushing wind, but it was a noise. And those in the upper room, man, stuff started happening. These 70 people were up there because they were afraid, they were scared, they were waiting. And this noise comes, and then they catch on fire. Red. Cloven tongues, a symbol of Methodism. Look at your hymnal. And look, you'll see that it's a flame wrapped around the cross to symbolize this outpouring of the Holy Spirit on this 50th day. And they went out, and they began to proclaim the good news. The power of God. That power of God is Christ. Alive, crucified, buried, and resurrected. Not in unknown tongues, but in the languages of the people who could understand. There was no mistranslation here. They were hearing it in their native language, whether it was Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek, Latin. They were hearing it. French. They were hearing it. There couldn't be a miscommunication. They go and they preach and they proclaim. But I have to tell you, the church, on its very day of birth, much like its own birthday, began in conflict. It began almost from its inception with division. They heard it. They heard them speaking. And some, all were amazed and perplexed. They didn't understand. They couldn't grasp it. They were amazed at what they were seeing. And some said, what do we make of this? How do we experience this? How do we receive this? What does this mean? What's the significance? They wanted to know the deeper meaning of what was going on. These were all devout people now, remember. Good old church folk. They knew how to dress. Knew how to talk. They knew the lingo. You know, they were there for all the services. They were there for all the stuff. They were devout. They were just like amazed, you know, literally. But then, in that very moment, amidst those who saw it amazed and tried to see what is it that God is doing, The other crowd showed up. Did you see that? Right away. That's a bunch of drunks. Yeah. They blamed it on the liquor, the wine. They're not filled with the Spirit. They're full of liquor. They fill the Spirit's all right, but it's not the Holy Spirit. And by the way, don't you know who they are? They're Galileans. These are Galileans. No, nothing's good there. The camp split, didn't it? One camp believed in the power of God to take the ordinary and do the extraordinary, but the other crowd doubted it. We arrive at the church. Pastor, what do you mean? Read the rest of the book. Why do you think Paul and Peter and James and all those guys wrote these books? Because there was conflict in the church. Some followed Apollos and some Apollos. You know, there was conflict in the church. There was division from its very moment, its conception. And I contend there's division within the body of Christ today, the church. I contend there's still arguments. We argue about everything, don't we? We argue about how much water constitutes a baptism. I tell people Methodists are the best. We can dry clean you. And we decided 3 drops of water, that's good. Got you. Dry cleaned. That's enough. Actually, we didn't decide that. That was actually the Treaty of Trent. They decided 3 drops of water constituted baptism. But we Methodists, we're better. We can dry clean you, you know. How many of you are familiar with the United Church of the Brethren? Anybody? You should go there. They put you in 3 times forward. Cha-chunk. 3 times. First one of those I went to, and the pastor started, we'd had a revival meeting, I'd been preaching, we'd had some people actually get saved. You know, church, that happens in church. Not often enough. And they started baptizing. I had never seen that before. That was different. Baptist. I was raised in a Baptist church, so I can say this. 5 times I was baptized. There ain't enough water to wash your sins away, Bob. They would always say, everything that goes under the water belongs to the Lord. And you'd see Baptists going under like this. Methodist said, I left it at home. my wife's got it. There's so much division in the church. I mean, look at that. We argue about the Lord's Supper. You got to be a member of the church. I remember growing up, and I'm hurrying. I know some of you are going, some of you went to going like this. It's 11:15. Relax. They would go, you know, if you go to a church, we were at Carrie's dad's funeral, and I was in the Catholic church. I wear my collar and everything, you know. I looked Catholic. I just didn't have my Jesus cross going on. I should have took me one. I could have fooled them because the liturgy's the same. Except I couldn't go because I wasn't Catholic. But they had Jesus up on their cross. It's the same Jesus. I thought there was only one. And I thought he said, drink from this, all of you. Even Judas could come to the table. In the Baptist church. How many of you are Baptists? Because you're going to maybe know what I'm talking about. When I was growing up, you were a better Christian to not take it than to take it. Because the pastor would say, we're going to pass the communion around. Before you take it, be sure you've repented of all your sin. So all of a sudden, it was better if you didn't take it than if it did, because that means you were being honest about being a sinner, and not taking the communion meant that I got so confused. I reached for that thing. Daddy said, put your hand down, boy. I didn't reach for no more, I'll tell you that. I was kind of excited. They had them little glasses. Do we have them? I got to look. We don't have them. They got shot glass holders on the back of their seats. They can put their cups in when they get done. You know, I thought it was cool. I never did see nobody put one in one. We argue about everything, don't we? The length of a hem on a dress. The length of shorts. Hair color. Piercings, tattoos. We argue about everything. Homosexuality. Oh, got that one out there, preacher. We argue about everything, don't we? We just love it. There's still division in the church today. And that's not God's plan. That's our work. You see, Peter did something. He confronted that problem. He met it head on. Did you notice that? He didn't wait, did he? This Peter who had denied Jesus, who ran away, this Peter, impetuous Peter, all of a sudden stands up and says, these men are not drunk as you think. Peter didn't vouch for them, did he? He just said they're not drunk, it's too early. He said if it was later, wait till 5 cocktails and we can go. You know, he didn't say that they won't get drunk. He didn't say they're not capable of being drunk. He didn't say they wasn't drunk. He just said right now it's too early. We ain't had time to get it to it. Maybe later. You know, just that's what Peter said. He says they're not drunk. It's too early in the morning. And then he settled the division. And the church needs to learn this. We need to go back and learn some things. And the things we need to learn, and I'm a Methodist, aren't in the Book of Discipline. Yeah, we should know that too. They're not in the Book of Resolutions. We should know that too. They're not sitting on a town square somewhere. They're not chiseled in a monument cornerstone. They're right here. This needs to be a ruling guide to our faith individually and corporately. And Peter confronts them with the Word of God. Church, you can't stand on your own credibility any more than I can. How many of us are without sin? But this will stand. But it may come at a cost. Jesus died, and all of these disciples would suffer death too, right? Save John. Well, Pastor, what's the point of Pentecost? This. Divisions come. Divisions happen. You got them in your own lives, in your own families, in your own communities, don't you? The only source, the only solution to that division is God's Word, which brings us to Jesus Christ, Savior and Redeemer. And we as a church have to be ready to do what one group at Pentecost was able to do, to see God's extraordinary work in the lives of ordinary men, and to see God's miracle of abundant grace, blessing, and the Holy Spirit to change the lives of common, ordinary Galileans into a group of people who would go forth and by the power of God and the grace of Jesus Christ change the world literally. You see, in our own lives, don't think for a minute that God can't take the ordinary and make it extraordinary. Don't think for a minute that God can't take our limited resources and change them into unlimited. And the scripture would be fulfilled that in the hands of God little as much. Now, that's not an excuse to put not enough zeros on your check. Oh, by the way, you do know that if you have trouble filling in the amount, we can take care of that for you. Sure. We got a whole group of people that'll meet right after church and we'll figure it out. We're Methodists. We've got to have a group. We've got to have a committee. We'll fix it for you. You might want to tell us a limit, though. Nah, never mind. Just let us do. We'll take care of it. For us, it's to let God. But the thing is, we sometimes get a little narrow-minded, and we think God's going to work in my life. Ooh, I love it. I like it. I got it. Ooh, come on, God, pour it out on me. And what about the other people around us? What about the other churches? What about the other faith communities? What about in our community centers? What about in our, why don't we pray for God to go to work there too? And why don't, even more importantly, why don't we see God at work there? What does the scripture say? Pastor, Romans 8:28. Anybody know it? I've told you this is one you should memorize. Write it down. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord. If that's true, then we need to see God at work around us and in the lives of other people too. We need to even see God at work in those divisions and those discussions. But at the end of the day, we've got to go with the Word of God. And what does it say? Wesley would teach us in closing four ways that we should look at life and decisions. They called it the quadrilateral. Scripture is primary. That's where we begin. What does the Word of God? Then tradition, experience, and reason. Good old common sense. Are we running short on that today or something? I wish you could go to the gas station and plug some in, people. I mean, it's amazing to me they can't get in out of the rain without an instruction book or somebody. Or they blame somebody else for the rain. That's amazing. Pentecost, the birth of the church. And I'm talking about sticks and stones and bricks and mortar. I'm talking about lives that got changed that day. Confusion. Yeah, they didn't know. Unsure, uncertain. One group blaming the other stuff. One group saying, what do we do with it? The one thing I have learned being a Christian is to expect the unexpected with God. To expect God to show up in the oddest places and times. And for me to be ready to be used of God in those unexpected times and places. For God truly wants to take the ordinary and do the extraordinary in your lives, in my life, in the life of the church. But we have to be with group one. We have to believe it. Pentecost is about the choice to believe that God can and will, or to say it's just stuff. Where are we today? Do we believe He can and will? Or is it just drunk men talking? Amen. Our gracious and loving God, truly we thank You for the birth of the church, and we're not talking about sticks and stones, bricks and mortar. We're talking about a few people gathered in an upper room 1,984 years ago who are anointed with the Holy Spirit that is available for our anointing at our redemption today. Who left that upper room and went to preach and proclaim the mighty power of God, His mighty acts and deeds of mercy. Father, may we grab that spirit of Pentecost today. May we believe that You can do the extraordinary with the ordinary, that the world may see Your power in that which is done. May we be instruments of Your hand of grace and mercy. May we not quibble over the little things, but let us stand on the very living Word of God. Let us go there for our answers, our directions. Let us go there to affirm our faith and to answer our questions. Let us go there, not to our own resources of public opinion, political correctness, but let us go with that time-proven standard of the living Word. And may that Word be alive in us. Let our hearts be prepared to come now to your table and to receive of your bread and wine, body and blood. In Christ's name we pray.
The Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is love, there is comfort in life's darkest hour. Spirit of the Lord.
Now may you go in grace, love, and peace to go with you, bless you, and keep you. May the countenance of Christ, the countenance of love and light go with you and bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.